Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valcarcel.
Well, let me just begin by reminding everybody that our Sunday PM services this month have been committed to prayer. We've committed them to prayer. And that's partly because we've been fasting. All those excited about fasting, shout to the Lord. Hey, that's pretty good. I was expecting like two hands, you know, the really, really spiritual people. But anyways, fasting and also because that's the way that the Lord has led our senior pastor. And so tonight we are going to continue to pray, except tonight we are going to pray for and lay hands on the sick. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. And I think that you find it all throughout the Word of God. And so, but before we do, what I want to do is I want from the scripture to make a case for the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus. I want to make a case for his healing ministry. And in fact, I've titled the message this, Christ is the healer. Christ is the healer. I was kind of going back and forth just a little bit, and I thought to myself, maybe I should say Christ is a healer because that's what he is. He is a healer. But I just couldn't get past it because he's not just a healer. He is the healer. He is healer of healers, just like he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And in fact, we thank God today for those who are in the medical profession. Thank God for doctors. Come on, somebody. Thank God for modern medicine. And you know what? If you are in the building today and you are sick, quit being stubborn and go see the doctor and let somebody help you out. And we're thankful for those that have given their careers and their lives to helping those that are sick and suffering. Okay, but if you go talk to a medical professional, they will tell you that their practices and their prescriptions, their medications do not have healing power. That they in and of themselves and their practices and even their medications do not have a healing or a curing ability. What they will tell you is that our practices and our medicine aid the body in its recovery process. Did you hear what I just said? But there is one who has healing power. And there is one who, despite what the body wants to do, despite what nature or the elements want to do, can come in and set everything straight and cause it to function in the order that he created. Come on, somebody. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the healer. And so I want to make a case for the healing ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to do it this way, by making the case tonight to you that it is God's will that you be well. It is God's will that you be well. And I believe that through the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to remove all barriers of doubt so that you can receive everything that the Lord has for you. If you're in agreement with that, come on, shout to the Lord and say, I receive it in Jesus' name. And if you're here today, you say, you know what, I'm not a sick person. Well, listen, you need to get a hold of these principles because you're going to know and you're going to come across people who are sick. And the Lord wants to use your life and your words to minister his healing power and his healing compassion to those. Is anybody here tonight? And so Christ is the healer. God's willingness, God's present willingness to heal. We just have 2 points tonight. And then we're going to pray. God's present willingness to heal is revealed by, number one, the work of redemption. If you brought your Bibles, the first place I want to take you is to one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I always like to encourage people to bring their Bible to church and do everything you can to get it into your heart so that when you are facing the issues of life, and I'm not there, and neither is Pastor Dan, because we're not omnipresent. Come on, somebody. And we don't even have all the answers anyways. So that when you face the issues of life, you got the Word of God in your heart and nearby, and you're ready to go. So here in Isaiah chapter 53, as you're turning there, let me just say this about this passage of Scripture. These are messianic verses. These are messianic scriptures. And all that simply means is that these are verses that are written talking about the coming Messiah. You understand that when Isaiah wrote this, the Messiah hadn't come. Of course, we know the Messiah, is Jesus Christ. And so, but these passages of scripture are messianic in that they speak of the coming Messiah, what he is like and what he is going to do. And so I want to pick up here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 4. I wish we could start from the beginning, but for time's sake, let's just go to verse number 4. It says this, surely, woo. In other words, make no mistake about it. This is a sure thing. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And if you will skip down to verse number 10, it says this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, I think by just an initial reading of the text, you can see how this applies to Jesus. Can anybody just by reading these scriptures, you see, oh, this is talking about Jesus. For just a moment, let's look at verse number 5 and notice what it says here. It says, but he was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for iniquity. The chastisement, or in other words, the punishment for peace was upon him, and he incurred stripes. We just saw here, what did we see? We saw wounds, bruises, punishment, and stripes. Now, if you will, for just a moment, let's go and let's remember what Jesus did when he came to earth. He was first delivered up to the Sanhedrin. The Bible says that they punched him, they hit him, they ripped his beard out, they spit in his face. And then he was delivered up to a trial by the Romans and their Pontius Pilate, and in some terms try to get Jesus out from the, you know, public execution, and sent Jesus to be scourged. And there Jesus received stripes from the cat of nine tails. In fact, the Bible says that they beat him so bad he was basically without recognition. Okay, they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and then when it was all said and done, ultimately they convicted him to be killed. They strapped a cross on his back. He carried it up Calvary's hill. They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and he gave his life for you and for me. And that's exactly what Isaiah is saying, that he was wounded, that he was bruised, that he was punished, and that he incurred stripes. Are you following me today? So it is very clear what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Messiah, and we're talking about his work of redemption and his work of salvation. You follow me? What's so cool is that all throughout this work of redemption, and all throughout this work of salvation, and all throughout this work of atonement, I know I like my big words, and all throughout this work of propitiation, you'll find that Jesus atoned for and brought us healing in our bodies. Now, you might not have caught it, and that's partly because I have a challenge with the way the translators translated some of these words, and I'm going to explain in just a moment. You might have caught in verse number 5, it says, and by his stripes we are healed. But I believe that these verses are more explicit, have more explicit communication of the healing that Jesus provided than we ever really thought possible. Look with me at verse number 4. It says, surely he has borne, watch this word, griefs. And watch this next one, and carried our sorrows. I want to talk to you about these words, griefs, and sorrows. In the original Hebrew text, the word griefs here is the word holy. And this word holy literally means sickness. So you could read it this way, surely he has borne our sicknesses. We go on to the word sorrows. In the original Hebrew, it is this word makob. And this word literally means pains. So we ought to read this way. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. I want to point out that this word holy, sicknesses, and this word makob, pains, are everywhere else in the Old Testament translated sickness and pain. They are not translated griefs and sorrows. And I want to encourage everybody tonight not just to take my word for it, because the scripture says that even when Paul ministered, that the church of Berea was more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica, because they went back and studied the scriptures to find out that whether those things which were said were true or not. Come on, the Bible says to all of us that we are supposed to be students of the word, right? Presenting ourselves unto God, workers who do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know you have a job as a believer, and that is to study God's word? And to find out, God, what are you saying? What does this mean? And to really search and to really seek out what God has to say. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out. And so I want to encourage you on your own to do your own study and see if what we're saying tonight is not true. In fact, go and read the commentaries that will bear witness of what I'm saying today. That this word holy and this word makob should be translated, he bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. Now, the one proof I'm going to give to you that I'm right tonight is I'm going to give you the commentary of the Holy Ghost himself. How about that? Because the Holy Spirit penned words in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, where he directly quotes this verse, Isaiah 53:4. Are you following me today? Come on, sometimes you gotta come to church, you gotta put your thinking cap on. You gotta say, all right, what's being said to me? And God, let me understand what's being said. Are you following me today? Because in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quotes from Isaiah 53, verse number 4. And I wanna read to you what he says. It says here, verse number 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Notice the context before we even get to the quotation. We're talking about Jesus delivering demon-possessed people and healing the sick. And he goes on and says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. So how does the Holy Spirit translate these verses? I want to read this to you. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, and then verse number 10 from the Hebrew English Bible. This is translated by Dr. Isaac Leeser. He was despised and shunned of men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease. But only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. Verse number 5, and through his bruises was healing granted to us. Watch verse number 10. How powerful is this? But the Lord was pleased to crush him through disease. Wow. Wow. Healing is all throughout the work of salvation. I want everybody to know today that the gospel message is not just a message of the forgiveness of sins. I get to go to heaven and I don't have to go to hell. The gospel, the full gospel message, is that Jesus died to forgive you of your sins and to heal your body. That is the full gospel message. How can I make such a statement? Well, let's ask ourselves for a moment, who is salvation for? For all men, for everybody. For God so loved the what? The world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, who is whoever? Everybody, whoever would believe upon him would not perish but have everlasting life. I love what Peter says. Peter comes along and says, God is unwilling that any should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I even love what John says in 1 John. He says, Jesus died not only for our sin, but also the sin of the entire world. So who is salvation for? Salvation is for everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. He was very clear that whoever calls upon me, I will in no way cast out. Salvation is for all. So then the only logical conclusion then is, if healing was provided through the work of salvation, and salvation is for all, then healing is for all. Can we look back quickly at Isaiah 53 one more time? I want to point out a couple other words. It says, surely he has, Isaiah 53, verse number 4, surely he has, the word here is born in the New King James. He has borne our, and I'm going to say it, sicknesses. And he has, look at this word, carried our pains. These are Levitical words. These are words that come from what the priest would do, the high priest of Israel in the Old Testament, to make atonement for sin, okay? Is they take a spotless lamb and they'd sacrifice a lamb. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God, right? That was God dealing with sin his own way, which was the perfect way. The blood of bulls and goats, well, it sufficed for the time. But the Bible says it was imperfect because it had no way of dealing with the heart, okay? No way of actually dealing with the life. Okay, but then part of their ceremony was, after they made that sacrifice, is that they would take this goat, and the high priest would lay his hands on this goat, and they called it the scapegoat. And he would put his hands on the goat as a symbol of transferring his sin and the sin of the nation of Israel onto that goat. And then they'd send it off into the wilderness. Good luck. You know what happened to that goat, right? He died. All right. But that's the point, that the goat carried away the sins of the people. Okay? That's what this is saying. Except it's saying that Jesus, like the scapegoat, didn't just bear our sins, he bore our sicknesses. And he carried away our diseases. My friends, today you've got to get a picture of yourself. He already took your sicknesses and he already carried away your pains. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the healed of the Lord. Galatians 3:13, I'm just gonna, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Well, that sounds really nice and pretty, right? Kind of rolls off the tongue. I'm gonna steal that from Pastor Dan this morning. Rolls off the tongue. Christ has redeemed. The problem is, we don't know what the curse of the law is. You can read about it in Deuteronomy 28. The curse of the law, if you disobey the law in the Old Testament, the curse of the law is sickness after sickness. It's listed there. After sickness, after disease, after disease. And it finally gets to a point where it's just like, and every other sickness that's not listed here. So in other words, everything. And what does the scripture say? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now we could go on and on, but my point is that the gospel message is that Jesus forgives and Jesus heals our body. That is the gospel message. And if salvation, and certainly for those of you who believe salvation belongs to you, then so does healing. Because Jesus, when he was on the cross, he bore our sins and he bore our sicknesses. God's present willingness to heal is revealed by, number one, the work of redemption. And then finally today, it's revealed by the Lord's compassion. The Lord's compassion is so important because it moves us from a place of saying that God is able to a place that he's able to heal, to a place where we say God is willing to heal. I wish I could take some time with that and explain that, but let me just say that again. Understanding or coming to understand the compassion that the Lord has moves us from a place of saying that God is able to heal to a place of saying that he is willing to heal. You can know all day long that God is able. In fact, most churches in America, we like to talk about the power of God. Oh, he's almighty. He'll do it again. All this kind of stuff, right? Picking on myself a little bit. And you'll hear very little talked about in regard to God's willingness. Oh, I know he's able, but is he really willing to do something about my challenge? And when you see the Lord's compassion, you're going to realize not only is he able, but he wants to. And the more you look at it, you're going to say, not only does he want to, he's eager to. He's looking to. Why would you sacrifice your son to withhold everything else? It makes no sense. Let's call the devil a liar and let's realize what God has for us this evening. The word compassion means to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. Also, you'll find that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the words compassion and mercy come from the same Hebrew word and Greek word. They're synonymous. I want you to keep these things in mind as we look at some of these verses. Psalms 145, verses 8 and 9. Psalms 145, verses 8 and 9. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." You've got to get a picture of who God is. He is a gracious God, and he is full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, or over all his creation. I love Psalms 103. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Look at this again. The Lord is gracious, or in other words, he is disposed to doing favors. That's his heart. He's a generous God. He's inclined to doing favors. He likes doing people favors. The Lord is gracious and full, gives you the impression that there's not a whole lot of room for anything else. He is full of compassion. For me, this is like the counterpart to 1 John 4:8. God is love. He is full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Well, what's the only logical conclusion to this? The next verse tells us that the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Wow, what a picture of our God and Savior. Well, what does compassion and mercy look like practically? What does it actually look like? I don't know of a better picture than the picture that Jesus brings when he walked the earth and in his earthly ministry. I'm going to go through these things very quickly, but in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 45, you find the story of a leper. And this leper, in fact, I'm going to turn to this one. Mark chapter 1. This leper comes to Jesus, and in verse number 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring or begging him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Just a side note, notice he had confidence in God's ability. He did not have confidence in God's willingness. But watch Jesus' response. Then Jesus, moved with compassion. What does compassion look like practically? Here it is. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. In Matthew chapter 14, you can read about it, 13 and 14. We find this multitude following Jesus. And what does the scripture say? It says again that Jesus, being moved with compassion for the multitude, he healed their sick. What does compassion and mercy look like? That's what we're talking about. It looks like God healing those that are sick. And in this case, he does so to the multitude. I love this. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, you'll find two blind men coming and pleading for Jesus to have mercy. "Son of David, have mercy." Or in other words, "Have compassion on us." These people understood that there was a healing mercy and a healing compassion of the Lord. And so some people came and said, "Hey, be quiet, don't trouble the master." And the Bible says, so they began to cry out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So Jesus stopped the procession and says, "What would you like me to do for you?" And they said that we would receive our sight. And you know what the Bible says in verse number 34? So Jesus, moved with compassion, he healed them. Mark chapter 5. You'll find the story of this demon-possessed man in Gentile country. He wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile. This guy had a legion of demons in him, and the Bible says that he's a crazy guy. He ran around naked, made his home among the tombs. They tried to bind him, chain him up. He would always break loose somehow. I mean, just talking about a very troubled person. And Jesus shows up and And the Bible says that Jesus healed this man and put him into his right mind. How wonderful. Okay? And so this man, obviously, you know, sometimes you think, man, if you're running around naked, all of a sudden you got set free, you probably, I want to move too. I don't want to stay here, Jesus. Can I go with you, please? Right? You follow me? Anyways, sorry, that's my silly, corny side coming out here. But he says, Jesus, I want to go with you. And in Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read to you verses 18 and 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And I love this next part. And how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Some people will tell you that in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 30, when Jesus, because Jesus left that area, went about more ministry, well, he came back, and when he came back, the Bible says people were coming from everywhere. And some people will tell you that the reason why they came from everywhere is because this man went and did exactly what Jesus told him to do and made the works of the Lord known and told them how the Lord had compassion on them. Now, I don't know if you see it or not, but what I see Jesus saying is, hey, I had compassion on you. Now go tell your friends and go tell everybody you can find so that they can experience the compassion of the Lord and be healed of their disease too. And that's exactly what they did. They came from, the Bible says, from all quarters, and he healed them all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I know this is a lot of verses, but I need to establish you on the word of God. And I don't want you taking my word for it, okay? You just write down the reference and you can read it later. Okay, but we're going through a progression. We looked at the Old Testament, okay? Now we've moved to the New Testament. We've seen Jesus' ministry. Well, guess what happens? The multitude starts to become too much for Jesus to handle. Because you understand, he was all God, but he was also all man, okay? And if you'd imagine for just a moment why Jesus went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can come and live on the inside of all of us. Because if Jesus were still here, we'd all have to go to fly to Israel, get in a long line, and probably get like 30 seconds with Jesus one time in our entire life if you didn't die before you got to talk to him. So Jesus, the Bible says, sees these multitudes. And again, he's moved with compassion. And guys, it's in the context of healing the sick. So what does Jesus do? He empowers his 12 disciples. Now we got Jesus times 12. What does he empower them to do? To heal the sick, to open the blind eyes, to open deaf ears, to loose the dumb tongue, and to do miracles where the maimed receive their limbs back, and to raise the dead. This is right after Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. Therefore, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send, you know, laborers into his field. To do what? To heal the sick. So Jesus' ministry soon facilitated the necessity of sending 12 out. Well, guess what happens next? It soon necessitated the need to send out 70 more. And what did God empower them to do? To heal the sick. Are you following me today? We see the Lord's compassion in his earthly ministry, now going to the 12, then going to the 70, okay? Well, guess what happens next? Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 14, and he says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. What works did he do? Come on, somebody. He healed the sick. Then I love the book of Acts. I'm just gonna take you right through the Bible. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, just listen, began, that's a huge word. Because it didn't say of all that Jesus finished doing and saying. It said of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. In other words, what is the book of Acts? A continuation of Jesus' work on the earth, except this time it's through his church. Is it any wonder that the end of Acts ends with Paul the Apostle on the island of Malta? And what happens on the island of Malta? He heals all that were sick. Are you guys following me today? He healed all that were sick. Go read about it. Last chapter of Acts. He healed all that were sick. Well, is it any wonder then, now that Jesus is risen from the dead, do you know what Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 17 says? Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Hello? Jesus, the merciful, compassionate healer, has now empowered his church to do his works and now is seated at the right hand of the Father for the purpose of overseeing your life, that you obtain the mercy, compassion, and faithfulness of God. So is it any wonder that in James, I promise this is the last verse, chapter 5, the Lord gives an ordinance to the church. You know, you'll hear, again, I need you to understand, we're not belittling things like baptism, okay, and discipleship, but what we want to do is we want to also raise in our evaluation system, okay, this ministry of healing. One of the ordinances of the church is to give communion, and one of the ordinances of the church from God is to baptize. Did you know that one of the ordinances of the church is to call for the elders? Is anyone among you? James chapter 5. Can you guys pop it up? Not verse number 11. Go to the next. Verse number 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord, can I have my keyboardist come out, please? And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Can you go back to verse number 11? Wouldn't you know this is in the context of compassion? Am I giving you guys too much? Because this really makes me excited. James chapter 5, verse number 11. Help me out, y'all. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. That what? That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And then what does he say in the following verses? So call for the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil. And they're gonna lay their hands on you and pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise them up. You know what I love about this verse? This verse says here, it says in verse number 14, it says, let them pray for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. This term, in the name of the Lord, it is as if, it is basically saying that when an elder anoints you with oil and lays hands on you in the name of the Lord, it is, in God's eyes, it is as if he has anointed you himself. As if he has anointed you himself. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna give instruction. If you are sick in your body, I don't care if it's a minor thing. I don't care if it's a life or death thing. He's the healer, and he heals all that come to him, and he heals all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And we're gonna obey the word of God tonight. Half the job is already done for you because I've already called for the elders of the church. And so we're gonna line them up right here. I'm gonna have Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess and Reverend Teresa, you come up here, and Pastor Joel, and do we have the prayer ministry? Yeah, let's get the De La Hoyas. Yeah, let's get you guys up here. And Paul is passing out the oil, and we're gonna do exactly what the word of God has to say, okay? Now listen very carefully. Some of you, the moment you're prayed for, you're gonna be healed. Praise the Lord. And you need to do what God told you, and you need to go tell people of the mercy and compassion of the Lord. Some of you, however, you're gonna get prayed for, you're gonna turn around and you're gonna walk away, and you're gonna feel absolutely no change in your body. In fact, for some of you, your symptoms may worsen. Did you hear what I said? But the scripture is clear, even in Jesus's ministry, that they were healed as they went. The Bible says that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That word recover doesn't say instantaneously healed. It says that they will recover, that God's going to bring them out. And so don't you get discouraged with the process. What you need to understand is this, that the moment you're prayed for, God answers your prayer. Now all you do is you go thanking God for his healing in your life, and you quote some of these verses that God ministered to your heart today, and you just stay at it until the healing is complete. Did you hear what I said? Don't you turn around and walk away, oh, my knee still hurts, must not, no. You receive, God is gracious and full of compassion. And just because you don't see it instantaneously does not mean that you have not received. I've taken too long and I'm so sorry. But this is what we're gonna do. Those of you who, hey, listen, you don't need prayer tonight, well, thank you for coming. You know, I hope you enjoyed this time in God's presence and in the Word. And so we're gonna dismiss you. But those of you who are sick, okay, Paul has instructed me to have you just come line up right down these big aisles here, these two big aisles, okay? And the ushers are gonna line you up or just send you to one of these guys. They're gonna anoint you with oil. The prayer's gonna be real quick. They're just gonna say, I anoint you in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And then you're gonna go right up the center aisle and you can be dismissed, okay? Have I been clear, Pastor Dan? Okay, so one more time for clarity's sake, if you're sick in your body, you go ahead and line up in this aisle if you're on this side, or this aisle on this side, and the ushers are gonna pray for you quick, and then you can exit right up the center aisle. Okay, and the worship team is gonna play and sing lightly. And we thank God today that he is a healer. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.